seat regulation because my toes are dangling. I don't like it.
I love that this is the last panel because you ladies always bring the best energy. That's always a little
lucky. People in the back, come on over.
Don't be shy.
Now, I want to encourage all of you to submit some questions for these ladies. If you scan the QR code just behind us, you can send in your questions. I will read them out, and you'll get a chance to chat to them. Desiree, thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
We've got to reflect on your incredible journey with the national team. You, of course, have been, as I said, one of the trailblazers for the success of this sport in Canada. Talk to us a little bit about how it has evolved since you first started and from what you're seeing today.
Yeah, it's been a minute since I've been, you know, in the program. All of us, you know, we're one of your OGs. But for me, it's just incredible to see where we began, especially my journey, 2010 with the national team. It's now 2024, so it's been a minute, and you're just really seeing the growth of the game. You're seeing the caliber of play, whether that's professionally, internationally, that gap is just closing. There's no guarantee win anymore. I think every game, whether it's in my club, I play for Kansas City Current, every game is a challenge for country. That gap is closing, especially within the top 10 nations. So we're really just seeing the caliber of play come together, whether that's through academies, like girls training earlier, younger, and just really getting that development early on. As well, I think you're seeing the investment from ownership groups, from celebrities coming in. I play in the National Women's Soccer League, as I said, and my club, happy to be there. They're one of the first to have the first women's built stadium in the world. And so for me to have been there, I was playing on high school stadiums, dressing in my car, like we didn't have locker rooms, and now we have a beautiful stadium, training grounds just for us. And so you're really seeing the investment from an ownership perspective, people putting their money backing the sport, backing the game, which is what it's deserved. But you're really just seeing that now in sort of the last 5 years. So to see where we've been, the growth of where we're at, and it's just so exciting for the future as well.
And to build on that question, Melissa, obviously there's still a long way to go when it comes to women's sports and women's soccer specifically, but could you maybe share some of the positive experiences that you had as a player in women's soccer?
Yeah, I feel like, well, number one, you get to meet some incredible human beings in the world through soccer and through sport. I think for me, I was talking to Desi actually, but for me it was, I think, very unique in that you're seeing opportunities outside of the game in different avenues. I'm on the medical staff now to continue my career with the team. I was just in the Olympics with the team. And then you're going to start seeing that with the new league next year, and that bringing on new roles for anyone that wants to stay in sport. Even if you can't be out there as a player, there's so many avenues that you can give back and still stay involved, which is so exciting, and it's only going to grow from here. And that's where, you know, like, looking back to when we had this talk last year and how much it's grown and the interest, and now we have season tickets being sold, like that, everything's coming to fruition, and it's really amazing to see, and I'm very proud to be a part of it.
I was talking about that with Diana, actually, the fact that last time that we were all on the stage, we were all like, what's next for women's soccer? A league. And now it's finally here. So there's a lot to look forward to. And of course, it's up to all of us to support that league and help it become 100%. The strongest. Now, Robin, you've been a part of some of the most memorable moments of this team, of the sport. Hall of Famer. Woo. Round of applause, please.
Woo. Robin Gale.
Robin Gale, everybody.
HOF.
Is there a moment in your career that you can look back on and say, oh, yeah, this sport is strong in this country. Like, this sport has arrived. Is there a moment that you could pinpoint where you kind of noticed an increase in support, perhaps?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing to say, like, you've arrived, because I think for all of us in our journeys with the national team, you never, when you arrive, it's just the beginning. So I think for us with the team, it's about when we got to that point where we were staying, competing, and actually starting to win. I think the turning point for women's soccer in Canada was 2012, when we had our first podium finish at the Olympics. But what's been really important is having that succession and continuous podiums happening. So in 2016, these two went back to back, and then 2020/21, the bringing home the gold, and then the way the team performed this year through some incredible hardships just really showed the perseverance and the character of the team. So you could say it started in 2012, but we know it started even before that. But it's been about maintaining that consistency and that level throughout. And really now it's continuing to podium and eventually bringing home the World Cup.
Heck yeah.
Now I'd like to sprinkle in some audience questions as we go. So Sharja from Toronto, are you in the audience, Sharja?
Sharja.
Right there. So she would like to know, the losses during close games are the hardest. What helps you get past those to move forward?
I think for me, one of the hardest losses was in 2012 against the Americans in that semifinal game. And I mean, I'm not even going to lie when I tell you it was all of you that got us through it. You know, like our coach kind of pulled from all of the messages back home, from Twitter, from all these, you know, social media avenues. We had all these messages from Canadians that were just behind us. And at that point, we were the lowest of lows. And to know that your country, 10.2 million people watched that game and all of them were behind us, to know that we just had to get that one last week. We came for a bigger picture. We came to really get a medal, obviously, and to know all of Canada was behind us, that was what kind of pushed us beyond, because physically we were done. So it was all about that mental part.
And now I'd love to talk about, again, back to the professional soccer league. So as we said, anytime we've talked about what needs to be done for the sport to grow, it was always back to a league. Now that that has happened, what do you think needs to be done for the sport to grow?
Yeah, can we just get hype about the Northern Super League coming in 2025? How exciting. Yes, yes. It's crazy to think, because I know when we first began, even in my national team career, you know, the Diana Mathesons of the world, Melissa Tancredi, Robin Gales, we were always talking about a league. We need a league. We need a league. Christine Sinclair, Avi. And so to now see it come to fruition, to know that there is a pathway from the grassroots you have, it's what you can see you can be. It's a cliche quote, but literally now you have girls in the stands who can now be, kind of just see the pathway to what they can be. And you can be truly be a professional in your backyard, which I think is incredible. We can need to continue to have the fan support. I think I can't stress that enough. Whether that's you buying a ticket, rocking a jersey, securing your seats, that goes a super, super long way. So I think getting fans in the stands, supporting the teams in the cities that they're at. But now the fact that we have pro soccer across six cities, we're hoping to build on that in years to come. But it just gives more girls opportunity. If you're not playing, it gives people who wanted to stay involved in the sport opportunity. And with that, you pair those things together, and it's really just going to continue to grow the game. So supporting it from the fan perspective, investors supporting the league, and players just dreaming big and keeping involved in the sport, because this is the world's game. It's our game. We love it here. And yeah, just keep investing in it, because it's going to, you don't know the impact you can have.
I love looking out and seeing the logo. I've seen so many people with the shirts today. I've got my hoodie. So if you haven't visited the NSL booth yet, I highly encourage you to do so. Again, it's up to us to make sure that this can be a huge success. And Robin, what excites you the most about this NSL? What are you most excited about to see women having a league right here at home?
I think Desi touched on it, just the opportunity for players now to see a professional pathway at home is something none of us had in our career span. Oh, Desi, you still have a chance. but I think it's really exciting to know that we'll be at home in Canada, have a professional league, and what that's meant, like all the world's best are have a foundation of a professional league. So to maintain our level internationally, it's critical that we have this and we continue to develop it. And like Desi said, I think the support from the fans, not only does it have an impact on the players, but I think knowing the value of your likes, following the league handles, joining the newsletters, all these things do matter. So please, when you get home, if you have accounts, follow, support any way you can, because it does make a big difference.
And of course, we've seen such huge success in the women's team at the World Cup, at the Olympics. And we're talking about this Northern Super League. So, Melissa, I would love for you, kind of just looking at where we are right now with the program, what areas do you think need more support? What areas need more investment to continue to support those young girls in their careers?
And I think that's it, right? We need the pathways to be supported. We need more depth. I think this year we showed the most depth we've ever had in our whole history of this program. and it shows the success, and you have players going to Europe right out of college, you know? So we need more of that. I think this league will absolutely bring that and give people opportunities and the chance to play for the national team. But for me, it's supporting the youth pathways, making sure there's depth. I think, you know, like, to keep this league going, we do need to build viewership. We need to build fanship, and I think that's on us as well to help. And these all states doing a great job, but these type of events need to continue to happen, need to broaden our pathway and broaden the net, I would say, to get people involved and get new fans. And I would say that those would be my two things I would definitely touch upon. And on the national team level, I think you're going to see a massive jump in our team in the next 5-10 years. It's going to be so exciting to watch because you're going to have so many new players getting a chance that, you know, they can only dream about right now.
And let's go back to fan questions. So we have Sean from Mississauga. Sean, where are you? Sean left, or Sean shy.
Shy Sean.
Well, Sean wants to know, Desiree, what is your favorite moment with the national team?
I'm going to have to say, and a lot of people will ask, like, in Tokyo, was winning the gold medal the moment? And it was, don't get me wrong, lifelong dream, but I'm going to say the semifinal, beating the Americans.
Wow.
It's on the bucket list, right?
100%.
My goodness, I was waiting a decade for that. You know what I'm saying?
Weren't we all?
So definitely the Tokyo experience for me, like pre-COVID, we weren't sure if the Olympics were going to happen. We were training in our basements, like just the whole process to get there. I was running Zumba classes on Zoom, like, it was wild. So then to know we went through that, to come together, to battle, to then get on the podium, just the journey itself was incredible. To beat the Americans along the way, and then to just hear our anthem and see our flag rise at the top of a podium, I can't even describe that feeling. It was just incredible. The journey, the process, and obviously the end result as well.
I love that. Melissa, what would be your favorite moment?
That would be up there for sure. I cried after that game, and I gave a speech I don't think anyone understood because I was crying. Honestly, if I'm going to take it past that game, the gold medal. I think as a player, that's all we were striving for. We wanted to bring that back home and for it to come true and for me to be able to be there as staff and witness that firsthand was an incredible moment for me. So for sure, that would be the top moment right now.
And of course, Robin, we have to ask, what's your favorite moment with the national team?
I'll just piggyback off of these two and I'll echo with the gold medal. I think that whole experience, the journey through the realities of the pandemic that we all went through together, and it was a very unique experience through that Olympic Games, not knowing if it was going to happen or not. So I think the team to come together and to have another resilient performance, which seems to be a CanWNT specialty, is probably my favorite moment. See us on the gold, top of the podium.
And up next we have Ryansh and Arna from Oakville. Are you in the audience?
Woo!
Right there.
Oakville. Yeah.
What is your top advice for kids that are aspiring to take up soccer as a profession? We'll start with you, Desiree.
Start with me, huh? All right. For me, I think I would say, one, make the soccer ball your best friend. You know, they talk about the 10,000 hour rule, about how much dedication and work it takes to be a professional, and it's not easy. But I can tell you that, like, the hard work, the things you're going to miss out on, you're going to miss some things, there's going to be sacrifices, but at the end of the day, it's so worth it. I get to represent my country, I get to play professionally day in and day out, like, what a dream that is. So the hard work is really, really, really worth it. Maybe not while you're doing fitness and running crazy, you might not think it, but at the end of the day, it is worth it. So one, make the ball your best friend. Get out, practice both feet, just kick that ball around, work hard, but also a reminder just to, like, be your biggest cheerleader. I think there's going to be a lot of people that can say, oh, you're not going to make it, you're not quite good enough. But if you have your own back, you have trust in who you are as a player, the belief in who you are as a player, and that only you can be you, I think that's a big thing, and continuing to hype yourself up through the highs and lows of the sport, because they're definitely both going to come.
Incredible answer.
Or just get me to, like, train you. I'll hype you up.
I do want to extend this question to the both of you, because I think the special thing about the All-State Soccer Show is that these kids come here, they get inspired. So, Melissa, top piece of advice.
I will go with, because I think that's still to the end of my career, I still love the game. So I think loving the game, and for me that was watching it whenever I could, going outside, practicing skills, learning something new, playing with my friends. As long as I loved it, that's what kind of drove my career. So I would say everything Desi said, plus loving the game. Make sure you love it. What do you got left, Robs?
Yeah. I agree with both of you. Great answers. I think it's the love that drives everything. It's the love that drives the hard days that Desi was talking about, doing the fitness, doing the work. I think the discipline is the next facet to add to it. There are days when it's easier than others to do it, and the days when you don't want to do it are the days when you really need to commit. And those are the days that make the difference and give you the confidence to have that self-belief, because at the end of the day, you know you've done the work. So as long as you love it, though, keep following your passion. There are different pathways. Everybody's journey looks a little bit different. So don't worry about maybe what your teammate or your friends are doing. But follow your heart, commit to what you love, be disciplined, and good things will happen.
Great answers, ladies. Thank you. Now we have Milan from Milton. Milan.
Oh, woo! Milan! You know these guys.
Oh, Mateo, thank you for coming. We've been the last 10 minutes.
So this is an interesting question. I'm going to switch it up, and we're going to start with Robin, because you've had time to think for these last few ones. Very interesting. We talk a lot about the success and the good moments, but there's a lot of hardships as well. So what has been the biggest setback in your career, and how did you get past it?
I think some of the things we just spoke about is what helps you get past those moments. For me, probably the most challenging part of my career has been navigating injuries. And in those moments when you're not able to actually do what you love doing is when you have to be a little bit more creative, a little bit more disciplined in how you stay connected to the game. So as Mel mentioned, watching the game when I was younger, maybe even playing FIFA, watching training sessions, looking at tactics. And then also finding other ways to maintain fitness and to keep yourself going. So I think, yeah, it's hard when the thing you love to do, you actually aren't able to do it. And you just have to keep your eye and your heart around the bits that you love and then allow that to drive the work that is required to get you back.
Melissa, we'll go to you.
For me, it was, you know, I thought I was always going to be coach's first choice, but that always ends sometimes. And, yeah, there came a time when I was aging a little bit and I was kind of put aside for new, younger players. And that was really hard for me. I was used to starting and being, you know, a player you count on all the time. And to be honest, exactly what Desi said, it's be your number one fan. I kind of just disassociated what my coach thought about me. And just, she was on the coaching staff, so she knows. I complained to her all the time.
Her time was up.
And then just became my number one fan and just worked on what I wasn't great at and, you know, continued to develop as much as I could at the tender age of 33. And, you know, like went out there every day and gave it my all. And eventually, you know, it comes to a point where they can't really ignore that. And you're, you know, given some time on the field, you have your chance. And you take whatever you get at that time and make the most of it. And that ended up being Rio 2016 for me and getting a medal at the end. So honestly, exactly what Desi said is be your number one fan, always believe in yourself and continue to work on your skills as well as your mental skills, and it all comes together in the end.
And Desiree, you're not off the hook on this one. Biggest setback, biggest challenge, and how did you overcome it?
I've kind of got a combo pack of the first two answers. Honestly, yeah, like, I've gone my entire career without injury, and in the last 2 years, I would probably say it's been the hardest part of my journey in my career. Had a knee injury, thought rehab was going to go okay, 4 to 6 months, boom, bam, bing, I'm back. It took me a year to come back. On top of that, like, you get that new appreciation for what we do on the daily. Like, being a soccer player is so hard. The fitness, the level of demand that it requires for your body, not being able to play the sport you love, time away, like my biggest thing is time with my teammates, and at the time I had to wave through the window while I was doing rehab, they're out there playing, and it was just like, it broke my heart, because those are the connections you build, and the special moments are being out there with your teammates. So coming back from injury, that confidence bit, you kind of lose that being out for a year. You're like, am I still good enough? Can I still compete at this level? You kind of have that mental battle as well, which I definitely dealt with. And then again, like just like time away, other people are going to come in. That's what's crazy. You need to be out on the pitch to prove your worth sometimes. And I found that that's been a waving journey for me. I've been lucky to represent Canada for 10 years, been a mainstay. But in the later parts of your career, I'm also at the tender age of my 30s. So you're seeing that transition happen. And when you're kind of used to a role that you play, that switch up of roles has been really, really difficult. But knowing that no matter the role you play, you still have an impact on the team. Whether you're out on the starting 11, whether you're coming in as a game changer, or you're just like being your team's biggest hype woman and cheerleader, like that all has impact and it goes towards the overall, you know, success of the team. So I think I've learned so much through the hardships, and kind of when you can take a step back and look at it like that, like I've learned so much about myself, the sport, and all the different parts that come with being a professional athlete.
Thank you. Now, Robin, looking ahead, let's say 10 years from now, where do you see women's soccer in Canada? What's your dream for the sport?
A couple of professional leagues would be nice. But I think having more teams in what Diana has started with the NSL, I think seeing our national team winning the World Cup, but I think just the development, the continuous development and investment in our grassroots and all the levels that lead up to the national program, just to continue to strengthen what's already there and continuing to build a fan base and making sure that there are pathways of different, with different endpoints for all players that have a passion and interest in football in Canada.
And Melissa, as we know, unfortunately, young girls are more prone to dropping out of sports than young boys. There's just something that happens within the age of 12 to 14 that for some reason our girls don't continue. How would you encourage parents to support their kids to make sure that they continue playing in sports and being a part of this community?
I think the messaging obviously is what sport brings to young girls, and I think it's so important where we kind of get locked up into they're not making a team or they're not progressing, but that doesn't necessarily need to be the reason they're in sport. Sport brings camaraderie, sports brings confidence, sports brings this level of self-belief that you can't get in the everyday world. And a lot of our, you know, leadership, I don't know what you are, but a lot of our leadership roles come from playing sport and going through all the ups and downs, and that's how you grow as a human being. And I think that's what parents need to start telling kids and giving that type of information, that sport is so important for you. And growing up, I'm watching my nieces, it's so important for them to get out there and play and feel like they're amongst their they're amongst their family and amongst their friends, and just feeling that safe space. And that's where girls flourish. I think it's taking away the competition part and bringing back the camaraderie and what it brings to them as individuals.
Absolutely. Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining us. We are all so excited to continue to support women's soccer, to continue to see this program grow. And thank you for all of the work that you have put in and for paving the way for this generation.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for coming.